And now a little look behind the scenes of Technorama before it's edited.
Well, everybody would have had stuff like that, what I'm saying. You're not following me.
Yeah, but I'm just making interesting conversation.
And that you are. But what I'm saying is...
What happened? Oh, Craig's offline. He better not be using that fantastic Nokia NA10. I think we have a steampunk podcast. Let's try calling him back.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, I dropped a call. I know it's around here somewhere. Have you seen it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Ah, thanks.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show 205 for Wednesday, February 6th, 2008. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the one, the only, Craig Stepien! Oh, didn't I do that last time?
I think so. I'm having this weird sense of deja vu all over again.
Fuja Day. None of this has ever happened before.
Oh, okay. At least I believe it.
How are you, Craig?
I'm good, man. I'm doing real good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. That's the way one of the guys in shipping always asks. He's walking around, he's whistling, "Hey, how you doing?" Fantastic. I got another guy in IT, ask him how he's doing. You always get, "Living the dream."
Yeah.
You work in IT and you consider that the dream?
Yeah, right. You know, I used to come into work every day, and my old boss, Dan, I knew he would be like this, but I'd come in and say, "Dan, today is going to be a great day," and be all sincere about it. And he's just
and
like,
what was his response?
Get away from me for having my coffee.
Kill somebody.
Yeah, he's like, hide, you know, after he has his coffee, and he turns back to Dr. Jekyll.
Scary stuff.
He was all disheveled, you know.
Anyway, coming up in this episode, we've got a Mac 512K that runs OS 10. Wow.
Say it's not true.
It can happen. We've got the Jedi Ginsu. How much would you pay for all this? Don't answer yet, because we've also got the Batcave Home Theater and much, much more. All on this episode of Technorama.
Mulligan Edition.
On this day in tech history for February 6, 2008. This is February 6th, is the 37th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 329 days remaining in 2008. It was on this date in 1815 that New Jersey grants the first American railroad charter to John Stevens. And it was on that same date in 1951 that the Broker, a Pennsylvania Railroad passenger train, derails near Woodbridge Township, New Jersey. The accident kills 85 people and injures over 500 more. The wreck is one of the worst rail disasters in American history. February 6, 1959 is the day that Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments filed the first patent for an integrated circuit. And it was that very same day at Cape Canaveral, Florida, that the first successful test firing of a Titan intercontinental ballistic missile is accomplished. It was February 6, 1971 that Alan Shepard becomes the first person to hit a golf ball on the moon during the Apollo 14 mission.
Houston, while you're looking that up, you might recognize what I have in my hand is the handle for the contingency sample return. It just so happens to have a genuine six iron on the bottom of it. In my left hand, I have a little white pellet that's from millions and millions of Americans. I'm going to drop it down. Unfortunately, the suit is so stiff I can't do this with two hands, but I'm going to try a little sand trap shot here. Some more dirt and ball. Here we go again.
That looked like a slice to me, Al.
There we go.
Washington National Airport is renamed Ronald Reagan National Airport on this date in 1998. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1695 to Nicholas Bernoulli, the Swiss mathematician. British anthropologist Mary Leakey was born on February 6, 1913. And finally, John Crank, the British mathematician, was born on this date in 1916. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for February 6, 2008.
Here at Theology Web, sure, we talk about how Macs rule, Linux owns, and PCs, like air conditioning units, don't work when you open Windows. But don't you ever think there might be something more?
So the important thing to understand about Molinism is maintaining the difference between temporal priority and logical priority.
And you thought you were a real geek. TheologyWeb.com.
TheologyWeb.com.
We debate theology. Seriously.
101.
101.
Welcome back. Hey, I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Jeremy Olke. Hope I'm saying that right. I always get confused when names start out with two vowels. Jeremy has joined us as a monthly financial backer to Technorama. If you look in the hierarchy, would that make him a contributor, or would this be like public radio where he's a friend of Technorama?
Do we have to divulge this information on our books?
Where's my tote bag?
Yeah, where's my tote bag? I don't remember my toaster.
Jeremy is known in the chat room as Mr. Sim. And speaking of the chat room, looks like we've gone with a video game theme this week. Phew, at least I can pronounce most of these. We got Claudie Pong, Coleco Enigma, Captain Super NES, Deb Drub, Dr. Zoidberg, and Calf Invaders, Legend Mark Zelda.
That one's pretty good.
Lord Cat, Mad Asteroids. That sounds like either something you get checked for at the blood center or...
Go to your local pharmacist for that.
Look, I got bad asteroids.
Can't sit down. Missing Intellect, Moon Buggy Sim, Mr. Odyssey 100, Soul Blaze, Super Eliza Sis, Tim Pong, and Zaha Doom.
He must have come out of retirement.
Zaha Doom.
Who, Zaha Doom?
Yeah, he came out of retirement. Remember he said he was retiring last time because he was changing.
Yeah. Well, I think he was moving.
Yeah, oh well.
Opening up the birthday calendar. Oh my gosh, where are all these people coming from?
I know, the wiki's taken off, man. I get like these notifications. Your wiki has changed. Your wiki has changed. Your wiki has changed. I'm like, okay.
Our wiki changes more than Hollywood marriages.
I don't know about that.
February 7th is Chad W. Smith from Chattanooga, Tennessee. February 8th is Jan Scott from Yorkshire, UK. Also same day, February 8th, Blake Noble in Pittsburgh, PA. The UK and PA. Hey, they kind of rhyme. Same day. We also have fellow Farpoint Media member podcast Mike Willis from Minnesota. Wills. I'm sorry about that. Mike Wills from Minnesota. February 9th. And the very next day, February 10th, Sherry from North Dakota. If this is your birthday and we didn't mention it, happy birthday to you and to all these wonderful listeners out there in podcast land.
Because everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one. At some point, you can go to the wiki. That's at chuckchat.com/wiki or technorama.wetpaint.com and add your name to the birthday calendar. We will be getting to it sometime in the next year.
Yeah.
I can make that promise.
Yep. Hey, by the way, I want to make a special note. The thank you to Yorga because he sent me, I got a package from him this week. I opened it up.
What'd you get?
I got a keychain with a compass from CERN, from his visit from CERN. And
major geek points.
Yeah, no kidding. And the note says, as promised, last August, you will find in this envelope a keychain from CERN. Kind regards, Yorga. And I certainly appreciate that. That was cool that this has made it all the way from the gift shop at CERN to my hands. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Yorga.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. All right, looking at the news lineup, it looks like Jack Ethernay and Chip Qwerty have been out and about again.
Oh, no. We bailed them out last time. They were out together.
We turn to the Technorama news desk to find this story already in progress.
Yes.
Astronomers rename one of the phases of the moon. This is Technorama News. I'm Jack Ethernay, sitting in for Chip QWERTY, who is chatting with a supposed 13-year-old on MySpace. In a surprise announcement yesterday, the World Union of Science, or WUS, said they are voting on a motion to rename the phase of the moon currently known as the New Moon and call it the Null Moon. WUS member Barry R. Giropoulos had this to say.
We had a number of young students write us and tell us the word new implies bright and shiny. They were always getting the new moon confused with the full moon.
Argyropoulos states that WUS should have a consensus on renaming the moon's phase by early 2010. When asked why it would take so long to come to an agreement, he replied, "What's the rush? The moon's not going anywhere soon." Jack Ethernay for Technorama News.
Just say it.
Good news, everyone. Fry's a little late tonight.
He just got the news.
I guess that door was giving him troubles.
That's funny.
In the newsroom, we have a comic strip from Microsoft, of all people.
Yeah, check that out.
This is more than daily. Now I got two comic strips. Last time I only got one.
Oh, really? Oh yeah. I see. They're stacking them on here.
Apparently so. This is changing frequently. I don't know if they have a stockpile that they rotate or what, but I'm kind of meeting this with lukewarm appeal.
Well, this is the second corporation or business I've seen that has embraced webcomics to bring readership to their site. So, you know, as we talked about a little bit earlier, this is the stories, the jokes are a little thin, but you know, the guy that looks like the geek in the story, he's actually got a kid.
Wow.
And a hot wife.
Yeah. What's up with that?
That's all right. See, it pays off.
Steve, what's up with the museum piece? The wife's been acting up. Ooh-wee, check out all those viruses. Yeah, my gut says she picked up a rootkit, but I can't find it. Forget about it and do a clean install.
Yeah.
If only marriage was that easy to diagnose. The love debug.
That's like my favorite quote from, like, Fat Albert. It's like school in the summertime. He got no class. Check out the second panel. The guy looks like he's taking the red pill.
Yeah, the clean install. How about buy a Mac?
Oh man,
that wouldn't work in a Microsoft comic. Thanks to East Bay Ann for pointing us to that.
But like I was saying, you know, some people are starting to turn towards web comics as a way to draw readership or attention to their site, because Scott Kurtz over at PvP, he recently was talking about developing a strip for a gaming website so they can get some readership to their site. So they're paying him to draw this one strip for them, which I think was kind of interesting.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. If he's getting paid for it, that's all the better, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Fellow friends in tech member Steve Holden from Tech News Radio and Jersey Boys Podcast sends us a link that said, go inside the Navy's armed robot labs. Now, these are cool. I was seriously geeking out on these pictures. There are 12 images of the various armed robots that the Navy labs are developing for real stuff. This is cool. Did you have a favorite on there, Craig?
I did. There's one. Well, they all look cool. I'd gladly have any of them. But beside the Sea-Doo boat, which I thought looked a little odd, was the one that looked like it had little containers that would... What it would do is this bot would go out. It has these treads, right? And it would just go out by itself and eject these little boxes that look like ammo boxes or something.
Yeah.
It would pop open and the antennas would stand up and it would automatically be a repeater.
For the radio signals and stuff.
Yeah. Any signal that they wanted to get into the field for, you know, similar troops... It would repeat for him, which I think was awesome.
Check it out. I'm on Wi-Fi out here in the middle of Iraq.
Hey, I'm all of a sudden getting 5 bars.
I was wondering what was in those little drawers because the picture wasn't real intuitive at first. At first, it looked like, you know, some kind of tool chest or librarian card catalog.
Sort of.
We are going to shoot the card catalog. Take the Dewey Decimal System.
That's what I was thinking was they finally found a use for the card catalogs from the libraries.
Mind you, those paper cuts can be pretty nasty.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories. So we got to go
Wait a minute. There's a robot that brings the soldiers lattes. That's awesome.
A Starbucks robot. Does it? That has Wi-Fi on it, I'm sure.
Robux. Oh, that's Sears. Never mind.
What is the weird show? UFOs, Bigfoot, frontier science, magic, outer space,
strange people,
robots, dinosaurs,
mythology,
wonders,
evolution,
meat trees, history,
alien life,
wacky
mysteries,
the occult,
chupacabra,
the
giant
animal,
alternative technology,
ocean,
extreme
foods,
meteors,
absurdism,
wild
analogy,
language,
science,
memory,
fiction,
manipulation.
Ah, hell, I don't know. But it's a lot of fun. It comes out every week, and it's guaranteed to be weird. A roundup of news stories, some of which you may have heard of before, but you've never heard them like this. Find out more at uncaffeinated.ca.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. These guys have nothing on James T. Kirk, and I should know.
Hacks and Strange Stories! Well, at least Lenny's on time.
Well,
we can count on him.
Hey, let's don't talk about your poor performance tonight, okay?
Many of the Hacks and Strange Stories tonight are contributed by Bookaroo. Thank you very much for the contributions. First one he comes up with is, maybe we can keep our family safe one.
Just say it out there.
Blow your mouse. It's an inflatable mouse that hooks up to your USB port called the Jelly Click. It's the inflatable mouse. It's super portable and fun to squish.
You know what? When I first saw this, it looked like a pregnancy test.
But the lady's got the thing in her bag, in her mouth. It looks like one of those oxygen bags on the airlines.
Yeah.
It doesn't give a price in here, but it does say it's ultra portable because it can be deflated. The cord can wrap up and fits in the gap between your screen and keyboard, which I would not recommend because that little USB connector is probably going to scratch your LCD.
Oh, that's dumb. That's the dumbest advertised. That's stupid. But you know, we've talked about this before, and I think I may have mentioned it on the show before. Is things like this, gimmicky mice, like those little tiny, looks like a mouse made for a kid.
Those little half mice,
They call them travel mice. Why would I want to do, how not portable is a regular mouse?
Depends. If you put it in your front pocket, this makes more sense.
Who puts mice in their pocket? Don't answer that. Okay, what I'm saying is I never got the concept behind a travel mouse. They look stupid and small, and I think they'd be more frustrating to me than anything. Now,
some people can't use the track point or the touchpad on their computer because of wrist problems and whatnot. I can understand that.
Well, I'm just saying, why would you go with something half size or something like this when a regular mouse is not that unportable? Is unportable a word?
Unportable? Non-portable? Deportable?
My Mac, you know.
Deportable is when you get kicked out of the country.
Yeah, well, you know, even so, you don't even have to worry about cables. I mean, you can get a Bluetooth mouse, and most computers have Bluetooth, so what's the
a Bluetooth inflatable mouse.
Oh, gosh.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, okay, let's move on to the next story.
Only this can drive Craig nuts. Next one is called Cranky Benches, and this isn't about old men in the park. This is about a problem that happens to a lot of people. After a rainstorm, you go to the park, and you want to sit down, and the bench is wet. Well, that's a problem. So this inventor in Korea came up with this bench. It looks like a normal bench at first. It's got slats on the top, but you can turn a crank and put the wet slats underneath. That way, the ones that are underneath are dry.
Yeah, it's got that kind of wood look like a roll-top desk would.
Yeah.
Where it's contiguous, but it's got slats to it. So anyway, you turn it and it would just, the water would fall off and you'd have the dry spot on the bottom.
Unless you know, it rained really
again
funny?
In the afternoon. What if it rained again in the afternoon?
Well, then you're out of luck. But you know what would be really funny is if you turn the crank and it went
and a monkey popped out at the end.
No, the guy sitting on it would go. Yeah.
This man's been taking this spot up for hours.
Well, you know, that's what would happen if somebody was sitting on it. You cranked it. They go and land yeah. on their back.
Their feet up in the air.
Pardon me. This bench is taken. Not anymore.
That'd make an awesome crime scene for CSI. You know, they come out there and this guy's sitting there on his back with his feet up. He's dead. They cranked him off. Off the bench.
He's been cranked.
Yeah, he's on crank. Anyway.
Last tech story we've got in the Hacks and Strange Stories is about a man who's taken a Mac 512K, one of the old original ones from 1984-85 time era, and retrofitted it to run Mac OS X. Yes, he's taken a Mac Mini, stuffed it inside, complete instructions, but do not try this at home because it is very dangerous. There, it says right on the website, note this project involves dangerous high-voltage electronics. If you decide to take apart your computer or monitor and you touch the wrong thing at the wrong time, you could be killed. This can happen even after you've disconnected the power and the circuit boards have large capacitors which may hold a significant charge for hours or even days after being unplugged. So don't mess around with this stuff unless you know what you're doing.
And they're referring to the CRT tube right there because I've seen it.
Yes.
You know, the guy, I used to work beside an electronics repair place. And I've seen the guy stick the screwdriver in there and ground out the little, I forget the name, not magnetron, but the little thing in there to discharge the capacitor. Boy, yeah. It has a charge. And I always thought, you know, whenever I heard him say, be careful, there's powerful electronics in there. I'm like, whatever. But no, I've seen it. No. It will bite you and badly.
And bite you hard.
Yeah.
All right. One other item you've got. What have you made?
Well, let me tell you what I did. Okay, my N810 tablet came with a carb mount, like a bracket, all right? But it came, and it's the bracket fits the unit, and behind it is like a little elbow. They expect you to, like, screw this into your dash, which I think is a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not screwing anything into my dash, and then I want the holes there. But what I did was, you know, I drove a Volkswagen Beetle, a new Beetle, and it has the little flower vase right there at the dash. Are you familiar with that?
Aw.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I usually hang my cell phone on it, which works great. But what I decided to do is I wanted the N810 where I could see it. You know, sometimes people mount those things on those little pole, like a cell phone thing.
Yeah. Keep going.
What?
You've been talking for a minute. Get to the point.
Okay, I'm getting to the point.
We're familiar with the inside of your car intimately now. Go.
Well, I got pictures too, and I'll post up on Flickr. But anyway, what I did was I went to the Home Depot, and I picked up this little dowel. It looked like the part like to a table, like when you screw the leg onto the table.
Yeah.
It has a screw on there, and I bought a little bracket. And I was able to attach the piece that came with the N810 on it, so I can stick it right in a flower vase, and the screen is just above the steering wheel enough where I can see it well and operate it. So that was my little hack. Is it cost me like $2, and I didn't have to screw this thing into any plastic part of the car. Just kind of stick it on, and I can pull it off, you know, right out of the flower vase, which is kind of cool.
You should patent it and sell it.
Sell it. Actually, I should take a picture and put it in the Make Flickr pool. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there. So. Anyway, that's my little tip, was to go buy the little pieces. And I'll put my links to my pictures in Flickr.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with the Media Corner. We've got like 7 things in there.
I'm done talking now. Are you happy?
Absolutely.
I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruin my fun. Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination? Dun, dun, dun. A plus sign.
That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined in the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences. The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
Hi, this is Dean Hagel from The X-Files, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to believe.
It's true, Mulder, it's true.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Looking first in the media corner, we've got a contribution from Ron. This is called Steam Trek, the moving picture. And what they've done is they've taken Star Trek and crossed it with like one of those old 1920s silent movies where they put the words up on the screen and you hear the diddle-diddle-doon, diddle-diddle-doon, diddle-diddle-diddle-doon.
But it's the Star Trek theme.
Yeah, it's a Star, you know. It's funny.
It is funny. Hey, my favorite part is they decide to go down to the planet and they throw a rope off the back of the Enterprise.
And it kind of tilts backwards. And the Enterprise has a big paddle side wheel on the side. It's terrific. Everything's all cardboard and 2D. The sets are
awesome.
You know, very, very Georges Méliès' Journey to the Moon style footage. Yes. I mean, it is. Someone really studied before they did this thing.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. So that's a highly recommended to go check that out. And, you know, as I was checking that out, I saw right on the little sidebar some of the videos that YouTube recommends, and there was the Monty Python meets Star Trek. Now, I'm probably the last person on the earth to see it after everybody else, but this was kind of funny. They took the scene where they're trying to go to Camelot, where they're going to Camelot, and they're talking about...
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
But they interspersed it with clips from Star Trek, and it's hilarious because they got everybody talking correctly, almost correctly.
It's very close. Yeah,
it's very close, and it's close enough to be funny. And go check that out. The Chekhov thing dancing where he's jumping. That just cracked me up.
And you have to see who gets the line.
I have to push the Pramalot.
Yeah. Oh yes. Now, a little meme that's been running around the internet this week was, can a Jedi's lightsaber cut Superman?
What?
Well, that'll bake your noodle there, won't it?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think it can? Do you think it could?
Yeah, I think it could.
You think it could? Well, go over at HowStuffWorks.com. They have several articles about Superman versus, and this is one of them that kind of came out of that. And they were talking about Superman versus superheroes, Superman versus magic, and Superman versus battling blockbusters, like fighting against Superman. You know, anyway, you go check it out. And they talk about Jedis, Superman versus a Jedi. And it's got, talks about Mace Windu would wipe the floor with him, which I think is funny. Anyway, so there's more to it.
Do some people not have anything better to do?
Well, I think Superman, took on Mace Windu, he could take him.
Remember, this is Technorama material, so somebody's making it for us.
That's right. They're also making... I can't believe this was done. Somebody made a phony commercial. If you're familiar with the old Ginsu knife commercials, someone came up with the Jedi Ginsu knife. And they've done a little photo trickery. I don't know exactly what they did. But they're slicing a potato with this little...
A bagel.
Looks like a handle. But wait, it's a knife. It's this little 6-inch blade. And yeah. Cutting it away. It is a very funny commercial. But it says, just having the Ginsu knife does not make you a Jedi.
Hey, what's her name? Had one in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. She cut the little bread with it. Remember that? And toasted it as she went. I was like, oh, okay. She's got a lightsaber knife thing.
Oh my. Now we also have a link from Bookaroo to the Batcave Home Theater.
I'm gonna tell you something. Somebody spent some money on this.
Yes, they did.
This is fantastic. It's got three rows of four seats. But everything looks like it came out of Batman's Batcave with the stalactites and the whole work.
I'd be a little afraid of those stalactites, either for getting in the way of the projection system or bonking you in the head as you get into the upper rows.
That was what I was worried about. Of course, if somebody had designed this, they would have known not to put a stalactite in front of the projector. I mean, you know, that's like projector 101. Watch out for your stalactites.
Now, Craig, you're a photography nut. Take a look at that bottom picture. One of the comments picks up on this and says, why is the lighting on the seats a little different? They're calling shenanigans on this thing.
The lighting on the seats? Because it's got a flash, man.
That's not where the flash is coming from. The lighting on the seats is different. It's not hitting the stalactites or anything, but yet the back seats are lit up nice. So they're saying this may have been photoshopped.
No, I don't think so. I think what would happen was if I had my flash on top of my camera and I was to flash, or maybe they have some professional lights off to the side of the camera, you would have seen it in that black chair. Sure.
I don't know. It doesn't look lit unusual to me.
Yeah. Hey, or maybe the screen's lit up. I don't know. Maybe they open the screen up.
But it's not lighting up those little foot bars before you trip over each step.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, pretty cool thing. Lots of money, you're right. And I don't know.
Wait a minute. Now, everybody's seen the Star Trek ones and the stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tell me, is this really a stretch? No, I think this is totally doable. So,
it's
why would they say?
It's a stretch, but I'm not sure I want to watch a movie in a cave.
Well, unless it was my cave.
And Catwoman was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it looks great. Go check it out. Regardless if it's a fake or not, it looks great.
We like Legos, and we found a link on Boing Boing TV. Actually, we didn't find a link. This is from Yorga. Legos are now 50 years old, and they have some pretty complex kits.
Yes.
Including one where you can make, what is it, like a 3 or 4 foot long Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. And there is a video, a time-lapse video. And this, you can tell by the lighting, this thing took days to assemble. Because the lighting will start out in this kind of bluish tint, and then it gets to this afternoon glow. And it takes a few minutes to get through the whole thing.
I was trying to see how long he says it actually took him, because I don't think it took days.
It didn't say. He just says, I captured one frame out of every 150. It's a great set. Much more fun to put together than a giant Star Destroyer.
He did this over several evenings. He condensed it down into 3 minutes, 38 seconds. But yes, I showed this to my son because, he likes Legos. Who doesn't? Every boy does. And we were, he was looking at it going, wow, because it just looks like little beams and pieces. And all of a sudden it starts taking shape, especially when he puts the hyperdrive thing around the back and all that stuff. Yeah, it looked great. It was fantastic. This is a cool video.
If you want to take a look inside the new MacBook Air, we have a link to that, thanks to Bookaroo once again, to a YouTube video that opens up the back, takes out the battery, and shows you what's inside that MacBook Air. They're not available to me yet, but I'm glad somebody else took one apart. Now, next is Will It Blend?
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. MacBook Air, will it blend? I thought, was that a quote from Merlin Mann? I saw that it was on Twitter. It says, the MacBook Air is for people that have lots of money and need a fourth computer.
That would be me.
That'd be me. You want a MacBook Air?
I don't really think I do, to be honest. I don't.
I think it's a little too light on the specs for my taste. I need more than just one USB port, which is all it's got.
So. Somebody did send us a link to the MacBook Aircraft.
What?
I think that's what they called it. It was really thick because it had every connector. It had about 3 FireWire 400, 6 USB ports, 4 FireWire 800s, a little iPod shuffle built into the side, CD-ROM drive, DVD, and floppy drive. This thing was like 2 inches thick.
Wow.
That was funny. We get all kinds of things that don't necessarily make it in the show. Well, that one just snuck in.
Yeah. Now we got to do a third show for the things that don't go in the main show.
Yeah, sure. The after show show. We'll talk about the links that didn't go in, and then we'll distribute that somehow.
Technorama after show.
Shave. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Go. I'm going to come back with a what the chuck. This is more of an informative thing, but stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
We're at the coffee table and somebody's drinking tea.
Love the tea. Got to stay warm.
Let's do something funny for Chuck. Craig, let's figure out how to blow the coffee pot up.
With laser beams?
Yeah.
Let's use laser beams to make instant tea. That would be cool. And let's put it on YouTube and send it to Technorama. Oh. They're out of water. The laser has zapped all the water out.
Just imagine the look on their faces when you tell them that you heard it on Technorama. Oh boy, I tell you what.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
Okay, so a couple of months ago, I'm on my iMac Intel, and I said, hey, my remote doesn't work. It won't always bring up Front Row, but yet it'll always put Front Row away. I call tech support. They say, can you bring it up with the command escape key? Yeah, it comes up every time. Goes away every time. If Front Row is up, pressing the menu button puts Front Row away. But cool. Like one out of every 10 will bring it up. So they said, well, have you tried it on another computer? So last week I brought it to work. I'm walking around. I can't bring up Front Row on everybody else's machine. Like, come on, man. But it'll always go away. Stopped off at Computer World around the corner on my way home. And I said, there's something up with this. He takes it. He aims it at another computer. Same kind of symptoms. Doesn't always come up. In about a minute or so of fooling around, we found out that the functionality somewhere changed along the way. It now takes 2 clicks to bring up Front Row. That's right, folks. Nobody ever told you you could upgrade the firmware on one of these remotes, but apparently somewhere it did, unless I missed that memo. And it's 2 clicks to bring Front Row up, 1 to put it away. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, what a waste of my time. Here I am thinking I was broken and had to spend 45 minutes on the phone with Apple support. They didn't know. That's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's funny.
All right, looking in the geek library. Hey, we've got... check this out.
Oh, we got a clip.
Now it's time for the comedy half minute with Archangel SB. Another knock-knock joke for you. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Windows.
Windows who?
Windows. Hard drive starts to click. You're in trouble. Yeah, that was terrible. Probably the worst one yet. But hey, it's a joke, right?
That's right.
That's all. Binary negative 3101.
Don't be doing the negative 3 thing, man.
Oh, man, a negative 3 Mimi. Oh, crap.
No. It's only negative 3 if you've got a 3-bit computer and nobody's got those anymore. I'm not going to go through all this again.
Okay,
it's
okay.
High 5-5-1-0-1. Look what you started there, Mark.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Don't blame it on me.
It was Mark.
Okay.
All right, Bruce Barr sends us in the top 60 little-known technology websites into the geek library. And unfortunately, Technorama was not on this list.
Yeah, what was...
It said little-known.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Maybe we're not... What's up with that?
Maybe we're more known.
There are 2 Apple sites. There's 3 finance and technology. There's a whole bunch of hardware, ideas from DARPA and tech president, TED, internet, Microsoft. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's a ton of them. Some of these I have heard of. Some of these I've heard of. And, you know, it would have been nice to make this, but I'm not sure we actually fit in a category of tech sites.
Maybe that's why we're not on this list, of course.
Miscellaneous tech blogs, maybe. Tech careers. Maybe that's
they didn't have a category for a couple of goofballs.
Whacked out goofballs.
Yeah.
One item. Only one item in there, and that's us. And the final one I've got, I like this one. Thinner than the MacBook Air, it's now the MacBook Paper. There's a little video that mocks, it's a parody of the commercial where they open up that business inner office envelope and pull out the MacBook Air. This is a teeny tiny one, and they pull out the MacBook Paper. They even open it with their finger the same way.
You know what? It looks like one of those little stack of Post-it notes or something you got, and it looks like something. You know, you ever gotten one of those from like a vendor? It looks like a, I got one before, it looks like it's a little tiny pallet, wooden pallet with paper stacked on top.
Yep.
You know, things like that. That's what it looks like, a little fake. It's funny.
They even give instructions and you can print your own. Thanks, Bookaroo, for sending us another terrific link. If you'd like to contribute to the show, there are a lot of ways you can show your love. You can call us on the listener line at 206. You know what? I haven't done this in a while, so let's do this one.
Okay.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
She does that so much better than me.
Yeah.
Or visit the website at www.chuckchat.com for forum swag, webcam, chat room, the whole shebang is out there waiting for you.
Hey, by the way,
you can also do, yeah, yeah.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, I mentioned this on the feedback show. In case you don't listen to that, I'm looking for suggestions, not just for myself, but anybody that listens to the show, of what books you've read in the past or what books you've read now that you would recommend to somebody that, you know, it could be, I want to say on the sci-fi theme, you know, like we were talking about Larry Niven mm-hmm. and Isaac Asimov and stuff like that. And I'm curious to see what you guys are reading.
Send us an email at technorama@chugchat.com.
Or call in.
We also want to let you know that during the month of February, Valentine's Day, you can buy the Technorama intros and Technorama news for half price. Yes, they're on sale this month. How's Yay. That for a deal? Go Yay. To the website and you'll see the link on the left-hand side. It says buy our intros or we'll shoot this iPod. I love our campaign manager.
Yeah.
Comes up with some good stuff.
He's awesome.
You can also write us a review on the iTunes Music Store, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or any one of the many podcast directories. Thank you to the following people. Hey, all the people who generated links and sent those in. Bookaroo, Yorga, Ron, Bruce, East Bay, Ant, Steve. All you guys are awesome for contributing to the show. We also want to thank Mad Marv for all the great blog content during
blog
the week.
Can't.
Got a little frog in my throat.
A new pod term? Blog can't?
Blog content. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't slip that one up.
No.
He does a great job. You want to subscribe to the complete RSS feed or visit the website regularly. Scott Reynolds in Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. We've got the chat room provided by freenode.net. irc.freenode.net is the website, or you can just go to chuckchat.com/webcam and use the Java client. To go to Pound Technorama is the channel name where everybody hangs out on Sunday nights and comes up with funny names that I try to pronounce.
Octothorpe.
Octothorpe. He's a superhero, super villain.
Yeah, I am Octothorpe. Hear me roar.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the good audio wonderness there, all the wondrous audio goodness there at farpointmedia.net. Did I already say that?
Yeah.
I have a sense of deja vu tonight.
That's okay.
It's kind of weird.
Really?
Gee. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the website, go subscribe now and get it delivered to you automatically, and we will show you how. If you have doubts, email us.
Yes, and you can sound robotic like Chuck.
Spock, go to the website and subscribe. Free automatic delivery. Till next time. Tell a friend about Technorama. We wonder why you would sometimes. And give them a binary high five and make them look at you funny. That's your cue.
That's my cue. Oh, 101.
We ain't leaving till we're heaving.